We want to be thankful to him that you made that decision to be here among us. I pray that you are encouraged. Understand that you are an encouragement to us. Now, this morning, we're going to continue our sermon series. We're talking about worship, and our main focus has been Hebrews, the 12th chapter, verses 28 and 29. And last week, we took a break, right? I called an audible, talked about some things. So we kind of took a break from our sermon series. So be reminded here what we're talking about as we are discussing worship, right? And in this section here, in Hebrews, the 12th chapter, before you get to verse 28, the writer there says, before you even consider how you are going to approach God, God says, I want you to remember the end. And he talks about the day of judgment. That's how serious this is. And then we get to verses 28 and 29, and he talks about receiving the kingdom that cannot be shaken. That's the church, interchangeable, right? And it's all by grace, everything that we do. Whatever aspect we're talking about, it's by the grace of God. It's something we don't deserve. It's a free gift. And in this, he talks about worship. Acceptable worship that's done with reverence and godly fear. And then he ends with that reminder. Remember, our God is a consuming fire. We are not here for entertainment purposes. Right? We're not here to be entertained. Right? We're here to come before the one on his throne, Isaiah 6 and verse 1, who's high and lifted up. And if you remember when we looked at that, or be reminded, or if you haven't been here, Isaiah there, he comes into the presence of God. And he recognizes the majesty of God, and he falls before God, and he sees his own weakness, his own smallness, his own brokenness, his own sinfulness, and he says, I'm undone. I don't deserve to be in the presence of God. But again, by the grace of God, he allows him to be there. And that's the mindset that we need to have as God's people. When we come together for worship, we recognize his greatness and our smallness. And the wonderful blessing is grace that allows us to be here before him. That's why we're reverent. That's why we have godly fear. We're coming before a God who is a consuming fire. Yes, he loves you. He offers grace. He extends his mercy. But he is a consuming fire. And we talked about introductions in the Bible, how important it is from the very beginning, after we're introduced to God and humanity and our enemy, the very next thing the Bible deals with, chapter 4, Genesis, is what's acceptable and unacceptable in our approach to him. Abel, acceptable. His worship was by faith. Hebrews 11:4 shines some light on that. Cain, not acceptable. He brought before God what God had not commanded. And a lot of people respond to that truth the same way that Cain did. Cain got angry. A lot of people get angry when it's highlighted, when it's shown from God's word that you're not approaching God in an acceptable manner. Cain didn't like to hear that. He got angry. And as we're talking about worship here, we're talking about our God, whose spirit, we must worship him in spirit and in truth. We're going to end this sermon series really talking about that. And so we've learned some things here. We've learned again, our God is a consuming fire. Worship is not entertainment. We cannot approach God in an unacceptable manner and be acceptable to him as a true worshiper of God. Now, we're talking about what worship is. Worship is getting that praise and that adoration from our hearts to God in the manner that he prescribes. Right? Your blessings that you have in Christ, right? All those wonderful things that you have in Christ, the forgiveness of your sins, right? The mercy of God, all these wonderful blessings. Your heart is overflowing with praise and adoration. I want to give it back to God. And God says, that's what I want you to do. But here's how I want you to get that to me in the corporate worship service, right? These five avenues. We've talked about preaching and singing. This morning we're going to talk about prayer, and I got that out of order. Next week we're going to talk about the Lord's Supper, communion, and then we're going to end with talking about giving. It'll be our lesson right before Thanksgiving, and I think it goes together wonderfully. So we're going to talk about prayer this morning as an avenue of worship. Now, this might sound like a strange illustration here. And I was trying to think of one. Of course, we've got baseball. Well, it ended last night, World Series. Right? And so I kind of had that on my mind. And I was thinking about a good illustration for this lesson. And so just bear with me on this illustration here. I want to talk about Pete Rose. Right? Even if you don't know about baseball, you probably know about Pete Rose. Right? And maybe these stats here will impress you. Maybe you might not know what these mean. I just want to show you what a big deal Pete Rose was back in his day. Leading hitter of all times in the major leagues, played 3,562 games, 14,000 plus at-bats, won 3 World Series rings, 3 batting titles, MVP, 2 Golden Gloves, Rookie of the Year. He played in 17 All-Star games. No one else has played in 17 All-Star games at 5 different positions. He had a 44-game hitting streak. Basically, Pete Rose ruled Major League Baseball in his day. The problem was he was betting on the games he played in and the games that he managed as a manager. Right? Still not in the Hall of Fame. All right, so that's Pete Rose. A lot of us are familiar with that. But I want you to think about how would you like to be Pete Rose Jr. and you love baseball? And all you want to do your whole life is make it to the major leagues. And you're actually really, really good. I want to read you something here that someone did an interview with Pete Rose Jr. Trying to make it into the pros. He played in the minor leagues for 19 years. He got called up for a very short stint into the major leagues, 1997. But he says, you know what I got to deal with? Every game that I play in, he said, every single game without fail, you'll have the fans in the stands. They'll be waving money, saying, how much did you bet on this game? How much money are you going to make on this game? Did you bet to win or lose? He said, every single game, people say things like that. You got any money on this game like your dad? He says, there's never a game that goes by that I don't have to deal with it. He says, every single time I take the field, I hear something. That's just become part of my life. Am I bitter about it? Yeah, he said. I think people should be abusive at their own cost, but they get protected by the fence. If you have had a good father, a man of integrity, you wouldn't know what he went through. Right, and if you haven't enjoyed a father of integrity, do you realize that you can? Do you realize that the creator of the universe wants you to be his child? That he wants a relationship with you. And the wonderful thing about that is the one who spoke everything into existence with just his word wants you to talk to him as his child. He wants you to have a conversation with him. He wants us collectively to talk to him, to pray to him. And what a wonderful blessing that is. We have the greatest father who's ever lived, and the one that sits on the throne high and lifted up. As a matter of fact, he's eternal. He's all powerful. He's all knowing. And he loves you more than any earthly father could ever love a child. Now, here's the question. Do we accept that? Do we believe that? Do we accept that? Will we take advantage of that blessing? You know, we're told in places like 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17 here, to pray without ceasing. When we think about the constant part of the prayer life of a Christian, we need to be praying without ceasing. And here's just a side note, a little bit of advice. I hope you take it. You can pray anytime, any place, anywhere. Doesn't have to be in a church building. You can pray while you're driving down the road. Lord, I pray I'm getting safely to my destination. Right? I had a car pull out in front of me here in 100 a couple weeks ago, and I just barely missed. I, I don't know how we didn't at least swap paint. And after that, I said, thank you, Lord, right? That's a prayer. Right? You step outside like today and it's a beautiful day. Wow, thank you, Lord. That's a prayer. Right? So say small prayers throughout your day. Pray without ceasing. Romans 12, verse 12, we read that we are to continue steadfastly in prayer. So here's what I want to do. I want us to first talk about the prayer life of Jesus in the Gospel account of Luke. If you would, turn your Bibles there. Then we're talking about the prayer life of the early church. So if you would, go back in your Bible here to Luke. And by way of introduction here, let's take a look at the prayer life of Jesus. And I want you to see that his prayer life was frequent and it was fervent. Right, a great example for us. And, and anyone that wants to be a follower of Jesus Christ, one of the characteristics of a follower of Jesus is we're going to be frequent in our prayer life and fervent. So let's just think about some of the things that he prayed for here. And where he prayed at his baptism. In chapter 3 and verse 21. In chapter 5, we see that Jesus frequently withdrew himself to pray. Do you do that? You have a special place where you pray. You know, your own special place. Maybe it's the front porch of your house, back patio, your bedroom, or whatever. You have somewhere special. I recommend that you do. Chapter 6, he prayed before choosing the 12 disciples. Chapter 9, he prayed before announcing his messiahship. Same chapter, verse 28, he prayed at his transfiguration. Chapter 11, he teaches us how to pray, what we should call the disciples' prayer. It's what we had for our scripture reading from Matthew 6 earlier. And what I want you to think about real quick here, another side note, is if you're ever struggling with what to pray or how to pray, why not use that format, that outline that Jesus gives us in the Lord's Prayer, in the disciples' prayer. Number one, you have the affairs of God. Hallowed be thy name. Then you have the affairs of men. Give me this day my daily bread. Then you have the spiritual affairs. Right? Forgive me my sins as I forgive others. Use that as an outline in your prayer. Jesus used it. I think it would benefit us greatly, especially in the corporate worship, if we begin like Jesus and glorify the Father. Right? Spend some time magnifying our God. His name, his power. Lift up his name. Then let's talk about our earthly affairs. Right? We give thanks for what we have. We pray for the sick brethren, those who are struggling. Many times, when we don't know what to pray, sometimes we just say, thank you, God, for this day. We go right into, please heal brother, sister, so-and-so. Right? But why not use the format that Jesus gives us. And then we finish, let's talk about our sins before God. Help me overcome this sin. Thank you for the forgiveness of sin. So, a little side note there. And matter of fact, here in this chapter, you get two parables about prayer. And then in chapter 22 and verse 40, he prayed in the garden, not my will be done, but thine. In the book of Luke, Jesus is the master teacher. The book of Luke is showing the wisdom of Jesus. And in that, we see his prayer life. It's frequent and it's fervent. I want you now to jump to the book of Acts. And let's think about the early church and how they prayed and what they prayed. So if you would, jump over to Acts. Actually, we could look at chapter 1 here. Before the beginning of the church. Right? And we see here that sometimes they prayed for very specific things, and sometimes they prayed for things in general. Right? In chapter 1, even before the beginning of the church, they prayed very specifically for someone to take the place of Judas. Right? A very specific prayer. And in chapter 2, verse 42 of Acts, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and the fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. And so we must continue steadfastly as a church in prayer. You know, if we're going to worship the way that God wants us to worship, prayer is going to be part of that. And listen, when someone's leading the church in prayer, we're not just listening to a man say a private prayer publicly. No, he's leading the church. He's leading us in that worship. And that is part of our worship here. We see, moving on here to chapter 4 of Acts, we see that the church prayed during times of persecution. Now, they didn't pray that the persecution would be removed. They prayed for courage in face of that persecution. So that's a very specific thing. And hopefully that becomes part of our prayer life. We're living in a very spiritually dangerous world. You know, are you praying for the strength to face that? To be a child of God that has courage to face that? I think it's good that we pray for the removal of that, but also make it part of our prayer life that we have courage individually and as a body of believers to face whatever that might be. Verse 29, they came together to pray, right? It wasn't for the end of persecution, but rather they prayed for courage to be bold in the face of that persecution. And then in chapter 6, they're trying to choose 7 men to help serve the widows. Chapter 8, a very important point is made here concerning forgiveness and prayer. Simon the sorcerer trying to buy the power of God. He was told to repent and pray for forgiveness. Now Simon, it says, was baptized. He was a Christian. Right? And so this mirrors what we see over in James, the 5th chapter. Right over there, it says, confess your sins one another and pray for one another. He goes on to say that the prayer of a righteous man is effectual. It's powerful. It's effective. They prayed for forgiveness. Acts, the 12th chapter, more persecution. They prayed for deliverance there. Acts chapter 13 and verse 3. They're about to send out Barnabas and Paul on that first missionary journey. They prayed first. Right? They prayed. Do we pray for opportunities to share the message of Christ? In chapter 13 and verse 3, we see that they prayed before they sent them out. A time of fasting and prayer. And listen, you know, that's a lesson we probably need to talk about is fasting. You know, the Bible just assumes that you fast, by the way. And many, many, many times, fasting and prayer go together in your Bible. Fasting doesn't just have to be food, by the way. Right? Yes, you know, give up a meal for the glory of God in your daily life. But fasting can be the removal of anything for the glory of God in your life. Things that of themselves aren't bad. You know, do a Facebook fast. You know, get away from that for a while. Or whatever it is, social media or something that's in your life. Give it up for the glory of God for a day, a week, or whatever. We see in the 16th chapter, if you remember, the Philippian jailer was converted. You remember what they're doing right before the earthquake and the doors opened? They were singing and praying. In verse 25, they're praying for strength. And then finally, we see here, you can look at chapter 21, chapter 26, they prayed at times of departure. Difficult times. So what do these examples show us? We see that in the New Testament church, they were very specific in their prayers at times. And they prayed at times for things in general. And one of the things that I love since we've been here is the several times that the elders have called for specific times of prayer. Well, we prayed for the folks in Texas after that school shooting. We prayed when the Russia-Ukraine war broke out, and I love that. And unfortunately, that's not very common, even in the Lord's church today, to come together for specifically praying for situations. It shows a wonderful heart, and I appreciate that, and I know many of you do also. So let's talk about the content of prayer. Yeah, I'd like for you to go to 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, understand this. The early church understood what they were praying for, and when they didn't, they were corrected. Right? And they were told what was wrong. 1 Corinthians is the book of correction. Paul's going through in a very systematic way, correcting things that they were doing wrong. We need the book of 1 Corinthians, right? And so in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 15, what is the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit, I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will also sing with the understanding. Verse 16, otherwise, if you bless with the Spirit, how will he who occupies the place of the uninformed say amen? In other words, you got individuals in that. So let's talk about worship. Right, chapter 12, 13 to 14 is talk about worship for the church. And you're going to have individuals in a worship service that are new Christians, that are weak Christians, that are visitors. Right? So he's getting them to think about what's going on here. Now a little bit of context leading up to this. At that time, of course, God had allowed spiritual gifts, even miraculous gifts, to some of the brethren, because you have to remember that the New Testament wasn't completed yet. They didn't have the New Testament. So God allowed these certain gifts to take place so that the message and the messenger would be confirmed that, yeah, they're speaking for God. And it appears here one of the problems in the worship service, one of the gifts was speaking in tongues. It appears that they became a little bit conceited, that their gift was better than somebody else's or everybody else's. Right? And so Paul is going to take this opportunity here to correct them. Look at verse 19. Yet in the church, I would rather speak five words with my understanding that I may teach others also than 10,000 words in a tongue. So what's the principle? Because today, we don't have those kind of spiritual gifts, miraculous gifts. We don't need them. We've got the written word. Matter of fact, chapter 13 talks about till the perfect or the mature should come. Talk about the written word. So we don't need them, but there's still a principle there for us. Right? The principle here hasn't changed. The principle is when we pray publicly, men, listen, our prayers are to be understood. We are being a spiritual leader at that point in the worship service. Right? And I'm not trying to be silly here, but you know, sometimes we use jargon that might be difficult for some people to understand. Now, whatever profession you're in, you probably use jargon specific to your profession. Like when I was in the military, everything's in language that someone that's not in the military doesn't understand. Right? It was even different between the Marine Corps and the Army. You know, I go in the Army and they're using it. I'm like, what's that? Right? I wasn't used to it. And so the point is, you know, let's make sure everyone can understand. That's the principle here. Right? Let's not use jargon that's very specific where the visitor, the uninformed, the new Christian, they won't understand, because you're leading the church collectively in worship, in prayer. And that is a principle that we see here. And then on the other side of that, those of us that are listening to the prayer, it's not a time to check out. Remember, we're all participants in worship. To the one who's on his throne, high and lifted up, and we're not eavesdropping in on a man saying a private prayer in public. Right? We're part of the worship service. And, you know, it's not a time to start thinking about what we're going to eat for dinner after church. Right? It's not time to think about what ball game we're going to listen to or watch. Right? We're involved in that. We're participants in worship, just like in singing. We need to pray with the understanding, like we need to sing with the understanding here. I'd also like for you to notice here, the last thing is that we pray together. We pray together, and at the end of that prayer, we say, amen. amen is basically us saying, I agree with that prayer. It's basically saying, Father, this is my prayer also. This is our prayer. Let it be. The prayer that was just for, let it so be it, Father. The church says amen at the end of the prayer. Everyone's saying to God, you know, that is my prayer. Do you know also that we sing prayers? Sometimes at the end of the song, you'll even see it. At the end of that song, it says amen. We're saying that's my prayer. Right? So we're singing a prayer to God, and at the end we're saying, so be it. Let it be. That's my prayer in this song also. I think that's important. Lord, let it be true. Listen, we are participants in the worship service. And at the end, we're going to say, that is my prayer also. Let's go ahead and finish up. Finally here, talking about the authority. In the name of Jesus. The prayers that we pray are offered up in the name of Jesus. And then when we say, in the name of Jesus, amen, it's not just a part of a memorization. It's not to get a plug in for Jesus. What we're saying is, I'm praying this prayer in the authority, by the authority of Jesus Christ. John, the 14th chapter, just listen to a couple of these verses here. Whatever you ask in my name, that will I do. Chapter 14, verse 13. Verse 14, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Chapter 15, verse 16. Whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give to you. Again, in chapter 16, verse 23 and 26. Right? And the point here that Jesus is showing us again and again, over and over, is we need to pray in his name. It's by his authority. Right? Lord, everything in this prayer, I submit to your will. Lord, everything in this prayer, I want my life to be in line with your mission for my life. Right? You know, it means praying, you know, Lord, in your name and your authority, everything in this prayer, your will be done and not mine. It's by the authority of Jesus that we offer our prayers. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, our Savior. And the church says, amen. We agree with that, so be it. Your will, God, not mine. So what did we learn this morning? Well, we've focused in on three main things in this lesson. Number one, I think this is important, especially in the worship service, is that in the time of prayer, in public prayer, it's not just a man standing up in front of us leading a private prayer. We're to be involved in that. That's part of being participants in the worship service. There's only one in the audience, and that is God. Right? We're part of that. And then number two, it's appropriate for prayers to be filled with various content. Sometimes it's very specific. Sometimes it's general. Right? Sometimes we pray for something in general going on in the world or in our nation or our community. But many times it's very specific. Then also when we say in the name of Jesus, we're saying it's by the authority of Jesus. And when the church says amen, we say so be it. We're submitting to the will of God, to his authority. One last passage I want you to think about here. Ephesians 1 and verse 3. And in Ephesians 1 and verse 3, it tells us that all spiritual blessings are in Christ. So the question becomes this morning, where are you? Are you in Christ? Do you want the spiritual blessing of being able to speak to the Creator of the universe? If so, that blessing is only found in Christ Jesus. All spiritual blessings, prayer is one of them, are in Christ Jesus. So I have to be in Christ for that wonderful blessing. Where are you this morning? Are you in Christ? Have you been immersed into Christ? Have you obeyed the gospel? Have you put on Christ in baptism? That's a question you need to answer this morning. If you've never obeyed the gospel, will you do that this morning? responding with faith, a trusting, obedient faith. He put on Christ in baptism. He adds you to his church, Acts 2 and verse 47. And then the blessings begin. Maybe you've done that and along the way you lost your way. You went back to a lifestyle of sin, and now you are again outside of Christ. The plea for you is to be reconciled to God through Christ this morning. Let's pray that prayer of forgiveness. Let's get you reconciled to God. Do you have a spiritual need this morning? Would you let somebody know, please, if we can help you as we stand, as we sing?